1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 to 34. You'll find it on the screens. You can follow along there. If you have a Pew Bible and can see it, you can also turn to page 901. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. My name's Tony. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome on this Good Friday. I'm going to start out this evening asking a question. When I say the phrase, "your kind of people," who do you think of? And along with that, I'm going to ask, who do you think of when I say the phrase, "not my kind of people"? Which is, seriously think about that and give yourself an honest answer. You don't have to say anything to the people next to you. And then I'm going to ask you to pray with me. Father God, Lord, on this Good Friday, we are a grateful people to a God who has shown us such incredible kindness. May we be a people, Lord, who appreciate it and who respond with incredible kindness. Pray that all we do this evening would glorify you, cause you to smile. I pray that we would be a people who love you well and love one another well. And we ask all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus. So, I guess I should put my glasses on. We've been going through this book of 1 Corinthians now since the beginning of the year. And it's one of the many letters written to the early church from the Apostle Paul. Paul, who spent the earlier part of his life opposing the Christian church. He sought Christians out, imprisoned them, was involved with at least one murder of a Christian. We see in the book of Acts, Paul's holding the coats of the men who stoned Stephen to death. And yet, by God's grace, Paul's also the man that God uses to write most of the books in the New Testament of our Bible. Knowing that he's been forgiven a lot, Paul holds God's grace and kindness in very high regard. He tells us in his letter to the church in Rome that it's God's kindness that's meant to lead us to repentance. Repentance being not just where you stop sinning, but where you actually change your mind about it. We change our minds because we start to comprehend how kind the God is who gives us commands. And as we come to appreciate that, it starts to make sense that we would obey him. You might have noticed that while we've mostly gone through the book of Corinthians in order, we're doing this chapter a little out of order. It coincides so well with Good Friday that we chose to move it for this evening. So if you're thinking, didn't we just do chapter 14 last week? You're not wrong. If the connection to Good Friday isn't obvious to you, I'll try and make it so. We receive communion, or the Lord's Supper, in remembrance of what happened on Good Friday. Jesus willingly allowed the creatures he had made to break his body, spill his blood, as payment for our sin. And he promises that when we place our trust in him, this sacrifice takes away our sin and gives us his righteousness. To understand this is to know the kindest thing that has ever been done in human history. The Bible tells us that the Creator became one of our kind. He lived a perfect life and died in our place. The sacrifice, as we sung, frees us from our fear of death. It frees us to love God. It frees us to love each other and to do it the way God tells us to. So what was going on in Corinth? Let me read the first few verses of this passage again. We're in 1 Corinthians 11. I'm going to read 17 through 22. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And I believe it in part, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. So I like to cook. Those of you that know me know that. And I'll occasionally watch cooking shows. So I'm guessing most of you have heard of the celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay. This passage, it reminds me of an episode of one of Gordon's shows where he goes to one of London's best Thai restaurants. And then he looks into the camera and he tells the viewers, today I'm going to make one of Thai's most traditional dishes, pad Thai. He narrates what he's doing as he's doing it, gets out the wok. His Thai chef is watching him. And, you know, I'm adding the shallots, and now I'm going to put the noodles in. And he makes his pad Thai, his version of pad Thai. And then he offers it to the Thai chef, who takes a bite and stares at Gordon. And then he asks Gordon, but what do you want from me? And Gordon says, I want to know what you think. He makes a face and goes, And then he says this is not pad Thai. He didn't say this is bad pad Thai. He said, this is not pad Thai. What did you get? This is what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. You guys aren't doing communion poorly. I can't even call what you're doing the Lord's Supper at all. It's so egregious that the rich people are coming and gorging themselves on food and wine, and by the time the poor people show up, a lot of the commentators have said probably many of them were slaves getting off work. They couldn't be there at the same time. But they show up, and most of the food's gone, if not all of it. To say that Paul is not happy would be an understatement. What was causing this behavior? And I would say, in a word, it's just unkindness. When most of us think of what it means to be kind, we think of being nice, polite. And in this context, I think it's something much more. Kindness is listed in Paul's letter to the Galatian church as one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a supernatural gift, like love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. Kindness is right there with these supernatural qualities that come when God's Spirit is dwelling inside of us. Who did you think of when I asked, who are your kind of people? And who do you think of when I asked, who isn't your kind of people? So I believe this is at the heart of kindness and unkindness as well. Are you able to appreciate that everyone you encounter in your day-to-day life is someone made in the image of God? While that image may be distorted by sin, if you're willing to look, you'll see it. In this passage, Paul's talking to a group of people claiming to have something else in common. They're claiming to believe that they are all people made in God's image whose brokenness has been paid for by Jesus and what he's done on the cross. And yet they're rationalizing being unkind to each other because of a difference in material wealth. This isn't just a violation of etiquette, it's a serious wrong. Serious because it treats God's kindness as something not worthy of imitation, not worthy of praise, not worthy of gratitude. These wealthy Corinthians are doing communion the same way they've done banquets forever. The rich stuff themselves and the poor are only invited to watch. Somehow that adds to the enjoyment that you not just feast and get drunk, but that you have people watching who are too poor to join in. Paul reminds them of what they claim to have in common, verses 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Paul was calling the church to be responsible. When I say responsible, I'm putting the emphasis on the first part of that word, response. In light of the incredible kindness God has shown to us in Jesus Christ, it is a reasonable response to be kind to each other. In verses 27 through 32, Paul's warning the church that if they continue to treat the Lord's Supper in an irresponsible way, God will discipline them. In fact, he already has. We look at verse 27. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Let's look at the last part of this chapter for the remedy Paul gives us to this problem in 33 and 34. "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, Wait for one another. If anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. So I'm just going to wrap up here. This encouragement to wait for one another, I don't believe it only applies to receiving the Lord's Supper. All throughout this letter to the Christians at Corinth, Paul is stressing unity, a unity that recognizes that we who call ourselves Christians belong not only to Christ, but also to one another. And so where I'm strong and my brother or sister's weak, we should see it as our problem, not just their problem. We should be willing to wait for one another. There shouldn't be a mean girl's table at church. This is the kindness that Jesus Christ showed us on Good Friday. Will you pray with me? Father God, Lord, we thank you so much that you condescended and treated us kindly. Help us to be a people who appreciate it deeply, Lord, and reflect it in the way we treat others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.